named taking Krishna's name also includes like taking the names of his close associates and dear ones.
Yes, taking the name of Krishna or serving Krishna also includes, the word Krishna includes his avatars and those personalities who are dear to him. Very nice. As the baby cries for the mother, so also should be our mood when we chant our japa and kirtan. Very nice. Benediction we should try to receive from the appropriate person, okay? Person in knowledge, very correct, yes. We should pray for unshakable devotion, excellent, very nice. We should, only human beings? All living entities, we should pray for transcendental compassion for all human beings. Very nice. Anyone else? Yes. So Dandavat means we are offering full surrender to Lord Krishna, offering everything. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Our prayer should also include, can also include, prayer for friendship with the devotees of Krishna. Yes.
There are two types of ways we pray. The first type is we pray with love and surrender. The second way we pray like that, but we want something
back.
And we always have to follow the first.
Hare Vava, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. What is your name? Krishna, Hare Krishna. Best answer amongst all the answers they have given. How old are you?
10.
Very nice. Excellent. Yes. Or any other? All of you have to speak, remember. Yes. Yes. Hara is who? Radharani, and she is called Hara because she is the heart of Hari. Very nice. Yes. Okay. No, the ninefold process is the way that we do bhakti or we do service to Lord Krishna, and prayer is one of those nine processes. Yes. Very nice. So asking materialistic things from material things from Krishna is like asking 10 rupees from a very rich man. Very good. Who else? Yes. The strongest prayer is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Tumba chanagide. What else?
We discussed about the story of the old lady, but she was not able to pick, and when the God was there in front of her, she, when God asked her for a benediction, she asked God to just lift the sticks and keep it on her head. Instead, she could have asked for more. So we are also conditioned in our life where we are not asking.
And instead, what do we ask for? Some short-term material benefits. Very nice. Anything else? Lot of you are left, so a lot of points are also left. Yes. We should pray for unshakable. That's already covered. Somebody has said that. So you have to have new points. And everyone speaks only one time. So you think we'll come back to you. Anyone else? Yeah. Excellent. That is the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are requesting Krishna and Srimati Radharani to engage us eternally in their service. Very good. What else? Blessings of? You become like them. So what is the purport of that story?
The blessing of Prabhupada is to become disciple of the Paramatma.
To be a devotee and surrender to Krishna. Real blessing is not that we should get something material. Correct? Yes. Very nice. That has been spoken already. So think of another one. We'll come back later to you. Anybody else? Yes. We should not offer obeisances in the altar. Okay? Yes, we should not offer obeisances to the left side of the deity. Okay? What else? Yeah, we should not cover our whole body when we are offering obeisances. Okay? We should not show the back not only to Prabhupada, to deities, but also to Prabhupada. That they said. Already said. So you think of one more point. Yes, who is left? Already covered. So think of something more. Already done.
Devotees of the Lord don't ask even the liberation when they are offered.
Yes, devotees of the Lord don't even ask for liberation. Very nice. They only ask for the love of the Lord. Yes. That has also been covered. Somebody has another chance, something new. Yes. Little louder. Right. We can ask Krishna for material benedictions only in emergency situations or life-threatening situations, very serious situations. But in general, we should know that Krishna understands our situation and ask for only some things devotionally. Very good. What else? Many more points still left. Okay. Chanting of the Maha Mantra is like offering obeisances to Radha and Krishna. That is also a wonderful way. Unique explanation. Yes. Many of you are still left. No lunch if you don't answer.
Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare is Hara, the energy of the Lord.
In the Maha Mantra, Hare refers to Hara, the internal energy of the Lord. Okay? Any other points? Yes.
Without cultivating the appropriate mood, prayer becomes a transaction.
Without cultivating the appropriate mood, a prayer becomes just a transaction, or it becomes something mechanical, just done for the sake of doing it. Yes? What else? Heli, no? You say in Kannada? Heli. So many points still remaining. Those who haven't spoken. How many haven't spoken yet? Raise your hands. How many of you haven't answered yet? Okay. Yes, that is also covered.
But she covers 3 points.
3 points, okay. Yes. Yes, one who practices the Navavidha Bhakti is called the most learned person in the world. By whom? Prahlad, yes.
We should pray and say, please don't
we should pray.
Please.
We should please those who are dear to Krishna. Very nice. Very nice. What else? The washerman. Then Krishna did what? How did he kill him? Fingertip karate. Fingertip karate. He killed him, right? Okay. What else? Purpose of knowledge should be to increase our Krishna consciousness within. That is correct. But it was not stated in the class. Right? Was it stated? Stated. Okay. So we'll accept your point. Any others? Quick, quick. All of you start saying. Whoever is not spoken. 2-3 more. We'll finish. Okay, and in a second round, any of you want to say what has not been said so far? Very nice. Lord Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone. Sauhardam. And it comes from what? Which word? Suhrid. And Suhrid comes from which word? Hrid. Hrid means heart. Suhrid means well wishes, good wishes. So one who is our well wisher is called a Suhrid. So Sauhard is friendship. So we should ask for friendship with the devotees of Krishna. Very good, yes. Only Krishna can show the spiritual path to the spiritual world. Okay. And Krishna's devotees can also show, right? So you can also show. Yes? Good. Very nice.
Maharaj, we spoke about the definition of Uttama Bhakti from Bhakti Rasamrita.
And what was it? Go on. Go on. Okay, so what is the difference? So what is the translation? A rough translation also is all right. Cultivation of service, very important, no? Anushilanam. Anushilanam refers to cultivation of service. So the heart of bhakti is service. To whom?
Krishna.
To Krishna. And that service must be devoid of any ulterior motives. Then it becomes perfect devotional service. Yes. Devotion to Lord Krishna.
Second one was friendship with his friends.
Devotees.
Third one was transcendental compassion.
Haribol, Haribol. Wonderful. Special prize you will get. Okay. Good. Very nice. So, okay, on this note, we'll continue. with our discussion. So I had mentioned that whatever prayers that we offer should be within the domain, within the ambit of the three things that Sudama Malakar had asked Krishna. Devotion to Krishna, friendship with the devotees of Krishna, and transcendental compassion for all living entities. And this is actually the foundational, these are the three foundational principles of our movement also. And as Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur has also explained, there is Name Ruchi, there is Vaishnava Seva, and there is Jive Daya. These are the three principles of Vaishnava Dharma. Which are the three? Name Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva, Jive Daya. So these three are closely, we can see that they are correlated to the three things that Sudama Malakar has asked. So this is Vaishnava Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma. Name Ruchi means to have taste in the chanting of the holy names. Vaishnava Seva means to serve the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. Jive Daya means to have transcendental compassion on all living entities. So our prayers must be within the framework of these three points. Should be connected to these points. We should not ask Krishna for anything outside of this. Yes? Yes. Now, are there any questions related to whatever we have discussed so far? Yes.
Maharaji, so the last premise of what Sudama Malakar had said was transcendental compassion to all living entities. But sometimes you may be confronted with adharma, like the way Pandavas had to stand against the Kauravas. So in such a situation, how do we cultivate that compassion towards living entities when what they are doing is adharma?
You see, compassion is exhibited in different ways. Sometimes a king, or even a parent, let's say, why a king? Sometimes a parent may scold the child, and sometimes the parent may embrace the child. But externally, even though the two things look different, but are they really different? Yes or no?
No.
Why not?
Because
the parent is driven by love. Whether the child is being scolded or embraced, the parent's motivation and heart is for the welfare of the child, is love. So externally different actions may be seen. And it may appear that one is very harsh and one is not harsh, very nice and favorable. But actually, on a certain platform, they are both similar. Similarly, compassion can also be in different ways. So when a child may be, let's say, speaking lies, and the parent will punish the child a little bit mildly, it may appear unpleasant, but actually that is compassion for the child, so that the child loses the habit of speaking lies. So compassion is not only what it may superficially or externally appear to material vision. For example, giving money to a drunkard out of compassion, it only helps him increase that bad habit and it will make things worse for him. So that kind of compassion is misplaced. It will actually harm that person. But when we speak of compassion, therefore Sudama Malakar has not just asked for daya. He has asked for dayam param. Param or param refers to subtranscendental, for spiritual compassion. So the real compassion is to give Krishna consciousness to everybody. So sometimes according to one's position, if somebody is the king, then he may have to punish a criminal. That is also compassion. but it must be executed with a clean heart, with proper motivation, not out of ego, not out of envy, not out of hatred, not out of petty-mindedness, not out of feeling of revenge, with no such negativity. If it is done properly according to the rules of dharma, then such acts are also called acts of compassion. Aitu? Okay. Any other question? Yes. How did Sudama know that Krishna is the source of all existence? Because it was well known to the Mathuravasis. And Akrura also saw it for himself. And such was the nature of Krishna. You can see here, he is speaking in the third person. He is saying, Sopi vavare chalam bhaktim tasmin eva akhilatmani. Bhakti unto that Supreme. So he may or may not have had clear understanding that Krishna is that Akhila Atma. And Tat Bhakteshu, his devotees. He doesn't say your devotees. So he may not have had. He is thinking of the Lord in the Paramatma feature or as Vishnu. And here Krishna has come in the two-armed form. But he's addressing the same person. Any other questions?
When we enter the temple premises or temple hall, if we have some senior Vaishnava or Maharaj giving session, so how we should pay the witnesses, in which order?
Well, generally the principle is that when the deities are giving darshan, then we don't offer obeisances to others. We would offer obeisances only to Srila Prabhupada first and then go to the deities next. However, sometimes that rule is dispensed with. If we suddenly see somebody, very senior devotee, someone has come, and naturally you will offer as an etiquette. However, even if, let us say, the darshan is closed, or if you see that senior devotee just outside, first offer to him, then to Prabhupada, then to the deities. Naitu? Yes. When the offering going on, are you showing them? Well, you know, there are rules. Strictly according to the rules, you should not do the pradakshina or the parikrama of the deities or the temple when the darshan is not open. Either when the Lord is taking bhoga, eating or sleeping, then generally you don't circumambulate. We circumambulate only when the Lord is giving darshan. That is a general rule. However, now people go to the temple, you know, they may not be there for a long time, they're there, so they may circumambulate like that also. So it's all right if somebody does it. But strictly speaking, according to the rule, you should do the circumambulation when the darshan is open. Yes, you can circumambulate. Although, during aarti, it is recommended that we should stand and see the aarti actually being offered. And in the Nectar of Devotion, that principle is also mentioned very nicely. Aaratrika darshanam. So when you go to the temple, you should stand and see, watch the whole aarti. Aaratrika. You know where the word aarti comes from? Aaratrika. That is a full word. That which drives away the darkness of the night. So that Aratrika becomes Arati, short form. So that is also mentioned by Rupa Goswami. In just like he talks about Vandanam, we'll talk about Vandanam. So generally when Arati is going on, we stand and watch. But the Lord gives darshan for much longer than the Arati. Arati is only short time. Okay? Yes. It's all right. Yes, you can continue the prayers. But generally you reach in time so that you have sufficient time to pray.
Actually, sometimes we are in the service, so we just rush to take the darshan and they close it.
That's okay. So at least you were able to get darshan before the DTs, the darshan, the curtains closed. Well, we should try to go as much as we can. But the practical realities of living in a city and doing your work, you're managing the house, so many things are there, and other services also. So do whatever is best possible. Try to organize life in such a way that we can have darshan, we can participate in the aratis, in the festivals, in the programs, we hear the lectures. We must try to do that as much as possible. Okay, so shall we continue with Vandanam? Now what I will do, I will ask you to open your books to Nectar of Devotion. You all have it in your folio. How many of you don't have? You have it? How many of you have it? You can raise your hand. Okay. So, Nectar of Devotion, you go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Further consideration of devotional principles. You have got it? I will encourage you, all of you, to read Srila Prabhupada's books on a regular basis. How many of you have read Nectar of Devotion, this book? Or at least the first part of it? Yes. It's very important. All of you, I would heartily recommend that you read. Now come to the later part where the heading is Reciting Notable Prayers. Scroll down, it is towards the end. It is towards the end of the chapter. Reciting Notable Prayers, that is the heading. Ninth chapter. Further Consideration of Devotional Principles is the title of the chapter. Chapter 9. Reciting Notable Prayers. Have you all found it?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, now one of you who is very good in diction, you can read this from here. Who would like to volunteer? Okay, you can read.
The first paragraph, right? Fine. According to great learned scholars, the whole Bhagavad Gita contains many authorized prayers, especially in the 11th chapter, where Arjuna prays to the universal form of the Lord. Similarly, in the Gautamiya Tantra, all the verses are called prayers. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are hundreds of prayers to the Lord. So a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. In the Skanda Purana, the glories of these prayers are stated as follows. Devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect, even by the great saintly persons and sages. And such devotees are actually worshipable by the demigods. Those who are less intelligent want to worship different demigods for some material gain rather than worship Krishna. But here it is stated that a devotee who is always engaged in offering prayers to the Lord is worshipable even by the demigods themselves. The pure devotees have nothing to ask from any demigod. Rather, the demigods are anxious to offer prayers to the pure devotees. In the Narasimha Purana, it is stated, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities and becomes eligible without any doubt to enter into the Vaikuntha Loka.
So this part of this chapter is titled Reciting Notable Prayers. Stava Patha. Stava Patha. How many of you have heard the word stava? Stava. What is the meaning of stava?
I heard it.
Where have you heard this word stava? Ah, very nice. Anyone else?
Stuti.
Stuti means
prayer.
Glorification, prayer. Stava. Path. Path means recitation. So Srila Prabhupada has translated stava path as being reciting notable prayers. Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned 64 principles of sadhana bhakti, of devotional service in practice. And in his description, reciting notable prayers or stava patha is number 36 out of the 64. So the idea here is that we should recite not just prayers but notable prayers. And the topic just before reciting notable prayers is what? Just go to it and see. It is called submission. Yes? Submission means vijñapti. Vijñapti means offering prayers. So both number 35 and number 36, both are related to offering of prayers. So how is vijñapti different from stava patha? Stava patha, which we heard just now, that is the recitation of prayers that are already found in the scriptures or which have been recited or composed by great devotees of the Lord. That is called stava patha. Alright? Whereas vijñapti is to recite your own prayers, your own expression of your heart, whatever you want to say. Of course, there are examples. We will see that at some point if time permits. But stava part refers to the regular recitation of stotras and stavas. Anyone knows what is a stotra? Stotra, stava, all confusing, no? No? What is stotra? And what is stava? Difference between stotra and stava. Where have you heard stotra? Huh? Where? Yes. Yeah. But where have you heard? Mukundamala stotra. So generally, stotra, stava, vijnapti, generally they mean the same thing. Okay? However, sometimes a very fine distinction is made between them. Like, for example, stotra generally refers to verses you just have to recite. And Srila Prabhupada gives the examples of Bhagavad Gita and Gautamiya Tantra. So it's just reciting Srimad Bhagavad Gita verses. That's the stotra part. So many devotees do this as a practice. They recite one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. Then on Gita Jayanti, we recite the whole Bhagavad Gita, all the shlokas, right? So that, according to Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, is stotra, stotra part. And stava will be when the prayers are more personalized and they're chanted with great devotion. Then they become stava. And if the same Bhagavad Gita itself is chanted with great devotion, then stotra stava mean the same thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Generally, some mantras are to be just recited. You should always recite with devotion, since it is a prayer also. But when there are certain prayers that are offered by certain great personalities with great devotion, lot of intense emotion, that is called stava. So in one sense, stotra stava is the same thing. Now let me give you an example. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, went to South India on pilgrimage, he went to Sri Rangam, among other places. All of you are familiar with Sri Rangam. How many of you have not been to Sri Rangam? Not been? No. Oh, certainly you all must go sometime. You must go, and you are in not too far from there. So you all must go. So there in Sri Rangam, where there is a famous temple of Lord Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw one Brahmana sitting and reciting Bhagavad Gita. And he was not even able to pronounce all the verses properly. And some other Brahmanas may have been making fun of him also for his improper pronunciation of the verses. But he was not deterred or disturbed by that. He continued reciting his verses. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to him and asked him, "So my dear Brahmana, what are you doing?" He said, "I am reading the verses of Bhagavad Gita." He says, "Why?" He said, "Because my guru told me that I should every day recite the whole Bhagavad Gita. All the 18 chapters, all the verses I should recite every single day. So therefore I am reciting it. Even though I am not very well educated, I don't know how to pronounce the verses properly. But since this is the order of my spiritual master, so I am fulfilling it. And I am chanting every single day." Mahaprabhu had noted that other Brahmanas were also making fun of him because he could not chant or recite properly. But then Mahaprabhu asked him, that, my dear Brahmana, I can understand you are reciting Bhagavad Gita every day because your spiritual master asked you to recite, but why are the tears flowing down your eyes when you are reciting? So the Brahmana said, because even though I am not able to understand the verses, I don't understand the Sanskrit language, I am not able to pronounce the verses properly, but when I am reciting these verses, I am remembering Lord Sri Krishna, who is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Lord and Master of the entire creation, of all the universes which emanate from the pores of His skin. But still He, out of love for His devotee, has become the chariot driver of Arjuna. And He is following every instruction of Arjuna. When Arjuna wants Him to go left, He says left, He goes left. He goes right, He says right, He goes right. He says go fast, Krishna goes fast. He says slow down, He slows down. Stop, He stops. He is following all the instructions of Arjuna. He has become like a menial servant of His devotee. So my heart is overflowing with love to see the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That even though He is the greatest of the great, He is the Supreme Lord. But such is the nature of His bhakta vatsalyata, His love for His devotees, that He has become His devotee's servant. And when I remember this, this picture is always in my mind when I am reciting the Bhagavad Gita. And then I become overwhelmed with devotion, and that is why the tears are flowing constantly from my eyes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear this. So then he said, my dear Brahmana, actually you are the most learned Brahmana amongst all. So many Brahmanas here are much more learned and scholarly, but you are the most learned and scholarly amongst all, because you have understood the essence, the whole purpose of reciting Bhagavad Gita, indeed the purpose of all the Vedas. So for him, recitation was not just a mechanical activity. Yes, he was doing it because his guru asked him to do it, but he was doing it with full devotion, with full Krishna consciousness. So, even though Bhagavad Gita can be said to be a stotra, but it is also a stava. So therefore, in one sense, there is no difference between stotra and stava. So we can recite. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said here, according to the great learned scholars, the whole Bhagavad Gita contains many authorized prayers, especially in the 11th chapter where Arjuna prays to the universal form of the Lord. All of you are familiar with chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna displays His Virat Roop. And when Arjuna sees that, then he offers prayers to Krishna, to the Virat Roop, right? So that's also a kind of prayer. Another division between prayers we can make is, even if they are with devotion, one is prayer in the mood of awe and reverence, which is what we would call the Vaikuntha Bhav, and the other is prayer in the mood of Vrindavan, which is done out of pure, sublime devotion. The residents of Vrindavan, like the gopis, their prayers, like the Gopi Geet, or the Venu Geet, they are full of very, very sublime prayers, contents. The prayers offered by Arjuna in the 11th chapter or chapter of Bhagavad Gita is also a prayer of devotion, but it lacks that intimacy. It lacks that sweetness of devotion which is there in the gopis' prayers in Vrindavan. So therefore, the prayers also have their classification, their categories. Similarly, in the Gautamiya Tantra, all the verses are called prayers. Again in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are hundreds of prayers to the Lord. So a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. So each of us should have some favorite prayer which we should try to recite on a regular basis. Agreed? All of you? We'll select some prayer. In the Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada says, there are hundreds of prayers. And maybe some of you can just share what you think are the nice prayers that you like from Srimad Bhagavatam. Any one prayer you can say. Yes. By whom? Spoken by?
Gajendra.
So the prayers of Gajendra. These are very famous prayers from Bhagavatam. Very nice. What else? Puridajana. Very nice. So that is part of which prayer? Gopi Geet. So there is Gajendra's prayers, there is Gopi Geet, then? Very nice. That's the last verse of Bhagavatam. But I am asking for prayers. Series of shlokas like the Gopi Geet, like Gajendra's prayers. Yes. Yeah. No, not one or two verses. I'm talking of series of verses which we call a stotra or a stava. A full prayer like Gopi Geet. Like Gopi Geet, which has many verses. Gajendra's prayers have many verses. Right? Such prayers from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Yes. Yes, that is also very nice. It's also a prayer. But we are talking of prayers from Bhagavatam. Somebody said now? Kunti Maharani's prayers. Excellent. Kunti Stuti. Yes. Very nice. Now all of you are mentioning one particular verse. Okay, but that is from which prayer? Kunti Maharani's prayers. So, there are prayers Kunti has prayed, almost 26 shlokas she has said. And those 26 shlokas, they constitute the prayers of Queen Kunti. Similarly, somebody said Prahlad's prayers. Venu Geet. Bhishma Stuti. Vritrasura's prayers. Nagakanya's prayers in 10th canto. Lord Brahma's prayers. Excellent. Dhruva Maharaj's prayers. Okay. Yeah, she called out, but there are not long prayers. Yes? So there are many, many such prayers. And Srila Prabhupada says here, so a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. So each of us should select at least one prayer. There are other prayers that may not be in the Bhagavatam also, but which we recite regularly. Which are they? Which are those? Shikshashtakam. Brahma Samhita. Yes? These are beautiful prayers. We chant Tulasi prayers every day. Yes, that's also a song, but Damodarashtakam. So there are so many prayers. Achyutashtakam. There are many, many such prayers. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that we should select one or more of these prayers as part of our regular sadhana. So we chant our 16 rounds minimum and we read the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, we hear some classes, etc. We do the arati And we should also try to recite some prayers on a regular basis. That is Prabhupada's instruction here. In the Skanda Purana, the glories of these prayers are stated as follows. Devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect by the great saintly persons and sages, and such devotees are actually worshipable by the demigods. So, if you start reciting these prayers regularly, the demigods will come to your house to offer obeisances to you. Correct? And that is why you should offer these prayers. Correct? Yes or no?
No.
Why? Just imagine, demigods will come and offer obeisances to you. No? No, that is not pure devotional service. We don't seek respect from others. We don't offer prayers so that somebody will come and respect us. We offer prayers because we want to serve and love Krishna. That is the reason for these prayers. Okay? So, but the point is that so exalted is this process that even great sages and demigods, they glorify those devotees who recite such prayers. Okay? And then Srila Prabhupada explains here why, how it is that some people who don't understand the spiritual philosophy properly, they worship the demigods instead of worshipping Krishna. And therefore they are misled. But they don't understand, as Prabhupada states here, that a devotee who is always engaged in offering prayers to the Lord is worshipable even by the demigods themselves. The pure devotees have nothing to ask from any demigod. Rather, the demigods are anxious to offer prayers to the pure devotees. So the pure devotees are constantly glorifying the Lord. And because of this one quality, they become worshipable even for the great demigods. And finally, from the Narasimha Purana, Srila Rupa Goswami cites it and says, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities and becomes eligible without any doubt to enter into Vaikuntha Loka. So generally the tradition is that when we go for darshan of the deities in the temple, we should gaze at the deities with devotion and we should recite some prayers. I remember going to Lord Jagannath's temple in Puri, and I would see so many ordinary looking people just coming, and they were standing and they were going to their work. On the way they come for darshan and they go to their work or business or whatever it is. And on my side I could see so many of them were reciting so many prayers, one after the other. They were like, it was like Ganga flowing from their mouth, from Gomukh. They were all reciting these beautiful prayers from 10th canto. Somebody is reciting Gopi Geet, somebody is reciting some other prayers, somebody was reciting Jagannath Ashtakam. Ordinary people just coming there, standing in front of Lord Jagannath and reciting prayers. Just flowing from their lips. So when we go for darshan of the deity, we should gaze with devotion. And whatever mantras and prayers we have memorized and we know, we should recite them in front of the deities. Maybe not loudly, at least softly or even in our mind. And then Krishna is very pleased with that. And this verse of the Narasimha Purana says, then such a devotee becomes guaranteed to enter into the spiritual world. And if you don't remember any prayers, just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Right? And understanding the meaning and mood of this Mahamantra. Alright? So this is stavapatha. So a stava is basically a composition, any composition that is in praise of the Lord. That is a stava, stuti, stotra, like that. And there is another topic which we can discuss another time if there is, we'll see if there is an opportunity, which is the vijñapti, the prayers that we can offer ourselves, the devotees offer. We'll discuss that another time. Meanwhile, what we will do is, how many of you want to chant one prayers here before we wind up? Shall we recite Queen Kunti's prayers?
Yes.
Yes? So, all of you can please go to your phones and open chapter 8 of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And go to text 18. Text 18 of the 8th chapter of 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Queen Kunti's prayers, there are 26 verses, text 18 through 43. Only Sanskrit verses we will recite. Okay? You have book? Is there? Okay. All of you have the prayers in front of you? So what I will do is, I will recite the first verse only by myself, and then from the next verse you recite in the same melody with me. And then when we come, a few verses later, there are some verses which have to be chanted in a different meter. So there I will chant differently, then you can chant as I am chanting. There are many different ways in which we can recite the shlokas. Different melodies, different ways. Okay? Kuntyuvacha Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishwaram Prakriteh Param Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahiravasthitam Maya Javanikachannam Agnya Dokshajam Avyayam Na Lakshyase Mudhadrisha Nato Natyadharo Yatha Tatha Paramahansanam Muni Nam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katham Pashyemahi Striyaha Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanayacha नन्दगोपकुमाराय
गोविन्दाय
नमो नमः नमः पङ्कजनाभाय नमः पङ्कजमालिने नमः पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्घ्रये यथा ऋषिकेश खलेन देवकी कंसेन रुद्धाति चिरं शुचार्पिता विमोचिताहं च सहात्मजा विभो त्वयैव नाथेन मुहुर्विपद्गणात् विशान महाग्ने पुरुषाद दर्शनाद असत् सभाया वनवास कृच्छ्रतः मृधे मृधे नेक महारथास्त्रतो द्रोणस्त्रतश्चास्म हरेभिरक्षिताः विपदः सन्तु ताशश्वत् तत्र तत्र जगद्गुरो भवतो दर्शनं यत्स्याद् अपुनर्भवदर्शनम् जन्मैश्वर्यश्रुतश्रीभिर् एधमानमदः पुमान् नैवार्हत्यभिधातुं वै त्वामकिञ्चन गोचरम् नमो किञ्चन वित्ताय निवृत्तगुणवृत्तये आत्मा रामाय शान्ताय कैवल्यपतये नमः मन्ये त्वां कालमीशानम् अनादिनिधनं विभुम् समं चरन्तं सर्वत्र भूतानां यन्मिथः कलिः न वेद कश्चिद् भगवंश्चिकीर्षितम् तवेहमानस्य नृणां विडम्बनम् न यस्य कश्चिद् दयितोऽस्ति कर्हि चेद् द्वेष्यश्च यस्मिन् विषमा मतिर्नृणाम् जन्म कर्म च विश्वात्मन् अजस्या कर्तुरात्मनः तिर्यन्द्रेशिषु यादस्सु तदत्यन्त विडम्बनम् गोप्या ददे त्वयि कृतागसिदां तावद् गोप्या ददे त्वयि कृतागसिदां तावद् याते दशाश्रु कलिलांजन संभ्रमाक्षम वक्त्रं निनीय भयभावनया स्थितस्य सामां विमोहयति भीरपि यद्विभेति केचिदाहुरजं जातम् पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये यदो प्रियस्यान्ववाये मलयस्येव चन्दनम् अपरे वसुदेवस्य देवक्यां याचितोऽभ्यगात् अजस्त्वं अस्य क्षेमाय वधाय च सुरद्विषाम् भारावतारणायान्ये भुवो नाव इवो दधौ सीदन्त्या भूरिभारेण जातो ह्यात्मभुवार्थितः भवेस्मिन् क्लिश्यमानानाम् अविद्याकामकर्मभिः श्रवणस्मरणार्हाणि करिष्यन्निति केचन शृण्वन्ति गायन्ति गृणन्त्यभीक्ष्णशः स्मरन्ति नन्दन्ति तवेहितं जनाः त एव पश्यन्त्यचिरेण तावकम् भवप्रवाहो परमं पदाम्बुजम् अप्यद्य नस्त्वं स्वकृते हितप्रभो जिहाससि स्वित्सुहृदोऽनुजीविनः येषां न चान्यद् भवतः पदाम्बुजात् परायणं राजसुयोजितां हसाम् केवलं नामरूपाभ्यां यदुभिः सह पाण्डवाः भवतो दर्शनं यर्हि ऋषिकाणामिवेशितुः नेयं शोभिष्यते तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधर त्वत्पदैरङ्किता भाति स्वलक्षणविलक्षितैः इमे जनपदाः स्वृद्धाः सुपक्वौषधिविरुधः वनाद्रिनद्युदन्वन्तो ये धन्ते तव वीक्षितैः अथ विश्वेश विश्वात्मन् विश्वमूर्ते स्वकेषु मे स
Snehapasham imam chindhi. Dridham pandushu vrishnishu. Tvai me nanya vishaya. Matir madhupate sakrit. Ratim udvahatad adha. Gange vaugham udanvati. Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishna Rishabhavani Drug. Rajanya Vansha Dahanana Pavarga Virya. Govinda Godvija Surarti Haravatara. Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Kunti Stuti Ki Jai. So you can all try to not only recite these prayers regularly, but also try to understand the meaning of these prayers. So I think we'll stop here now. You must all be very tired after the night's journey and eagerly waiting for prasadam. Any questions? There is a whole section which I have not touched, which is Vignapti, the part just before Stava part, where different kinds of, three kinds of prayers have been discussed by Rupa Goswami. But for now, so select your prayers, your favorite prayers from Bhagavatam or even from other places like Shikshashtakam, Brahma Samhita, and recite every day. Those who visit the temple every day, they chant these prayers automatically because it's part of the daily program. So the question is that in Kunti's prayers, she is asking the Lord for more and more calamities. So how can we understand this, and should we also ask similarly? Kunti Maharani is an eternal associate of Lord Krishna and related to him in an intimate way. And she can pray for this kind of thing, but for us, our ability to tolerate and the extent of our faith may not be as much. So if we ask for misery unnecessarily, we'll get it. And who can say that whatever misery they have right now is not enough? Right? Whatever troubles you have in your life, is it enough for now or no? Or you want more? In Bombay Hindi they say bas ho gaya. It's enough, no? So we don't generally ask as a routine. We can ask whatever, when we are going through a difficult period, we can ask Krishna, if you so desire that I continue with this, is your desire, but please give me the strength to bear this and to see it in the right way. But we also understand how great devotees sometimes pray. We have to learn the art and science of praying. That is why stava path is so important. Because unless we look at the prayers of great devotees, we will not know how to pray. Many people will concoct their own prayers. Not only will they be philosophically wrong, but also the mood and the purpose will be wrong. So when we study these notable prayers, stava path we do every day, then we understand the deep philosophy that is there in these prayers and the devotional mood with which this is recited. And that is very purifying and devotional for our heart. Okay? I think you had a question. Yes. For which you can attend. Generally it is for, I think, I don't know what the, I should ask the organizers, I think 15 to 25 or something like that is their age, I think it is. But it's okay, you can come. Definitely. Definitely, all the ashtakams. There are so many ashtakams like this, 8 verses. Can you think of other verses, ashtakams? Damodar ashtakam, Chaurashtakam, Krishnashtakam, Vrindavan ashtakam, Radhika ashtakam, Shad Goswami ashtakam, yes? So many such prayers. They're all prayers. Yes.
Sometimes in prayer, the prayers like as though are just extension of this question. When we are reciting the prayers, there may be some shlokas or some things which we may not still have that mood of which we are still not prepared for. But still, if we recite the prayers, is it okay to avoid certain shlokas?
Okay, so the question is that all the prayers we recite are chanted by great devotees, and since we are not on that level, we may not be able to relate to everything they say, but still should we chant? Yes, that is how we learn what is the mood and what is the content of the prayers. So, by understanding how great devotees pray, we also learn the nuances of pure devotional service and the various limbs of pure devotional service. How to think, how to speak, how to pray, what to ask for, what not to ask for, and so on. That is why stava path is very important. That is fine. So when you're standing in front of the deities, if you don't remember immediately some standard prayers, then you can just pray from your heart in your own language, in your own words. Krishna understands all languages. So you can pray in any language and Krishna will understand. So in your own words you can pray. But the mood and the content should be authorized. So you should not ask for, I want to become you, I want to merge into you. Such things you should not ask, even any language. Or dhanam dehi, rupam dehi, such things we should not ask. Yes.
When we pronounce it wrongly, when we start doing it,
So we may not pronounce the shlokas correctly. Should we do it? Continue the prayers? That is the question. Yes, you should continue chanting. And where the pronunciation is not correct, you'd correct it. By hearing the way other devotees who are pronouncing correctly are doing it. You hear from that and then you chant on your own. Like Bhagavad Gita recitation, you hear from so many devotees and others have chanted, you learn the correct pronunciation and recite accordingly and check where you have been making mistakes so far. And then you continue. There are some very standard places where devotees make mistakes. And they usually have to deal with the vowels and with the visarga. Visarga means the ha at the end, the dot dot at the end. Also, please remember that even after that, if there is some mistake in the chanting, Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. Okay. So there, who remembers the verse? This Bhavagrahi Janardana. What is that verse? Yeah, that full verse, who remembers? Murkho vadati Vishnaya, dhiro vadati Vishnave, ubhayor tat samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. What is the meaning of this? Murkho refers to one who may not be very well educated in the grammar and such things and doesn't understand. And he is worshipping Lord Vishnu. And he says, dhiro vadati Vishnaya. Because when you worship Krishna, you say, Krishnaya. Om Krishnaya Namaha. Okay. So the aya is used. So somebody who doesn't understand the grammar is worshipping Vishnu. He may think the same ending has to be used here also. So, Om Vishnaya Namaha, he may say. Actually, Krishna ends in A and Vishnu ends in U. So, you say Krishnaya, but you can't say Vishnaya. It's a different word, different ending. Ukaranta and this is Akaranta. So, you say Vishnave. Om Vishnave Namaha. You don't say Vishnaya Namaha. But a person who is not knowledgeable, murkho vadati, vadati means say. Murkho vadati Vishnaya. He may say Vishnaya instead of Vishnave. Dhiro vadati Vishnave. Dhira, the knowledgeable person, will say Vishnave. Om Vishnave Namaha. Ubhayor tat samam punyam. Ubhayor, for both of them, the benefit, the merit, the punya of reciting is samam, is the same. Provided both of them are chanting with devotion, the merit that both of them will get is the same. Despite the learned person chanting correctly and the person who is not learned chanting wrongly. Why? Bhavagrahi Janardana. Because Janardana or Lord Krishna is accepting the bhava or the devotion of the devotee. He is not Uccharana Grahi Janardana. It's not that whoever pronounces the best, he goes back to Godhead. Or he is not Vyakarana Grahi Janardana. Whose grammar is the best, he takes him back to Godhead. Or he is not even Dhana Grahi Janardana. Whoever has the most money goes back to Godhead. Or he is not a Rupa. He is not after Rupa. Rupa Grahi Janardana, Saundarya Grahi Janardana, none of these things. He is Bhava Grahi Janardana. Grahi means one who accepts, Grahana, to accept. So he accepts our Bhava, our mood of devotion. So therefore, the devotion with which we chant, with which we recite prayers, is the most important element of our devotional service. If we are able to pronounce correctly, wonderful. And where we don't pronounce correctly, we should try our best to correct our pronunciation. But even despite our best efforts, if we are not able to do it, never mind. Continue chant to chant with devotion. Still try to correct. Some people have cultural limitations to chanting. For example, in Spanish, they don't have ja. So they will always say ya for ja. In Chinese, they don't have ra. They say la for ra. They don't have ra as an akshara, as an alphabet. So like that, some people, according to their cultural conditioning, they pronounce things in certain ways. But Krishna will accept if it is chanted with devotion. Yes. So you want to eliminate that shloka when you are reciting? No, no, you can't do like that. You recite all, including that shloka. Don't be afraid that now Krishna is going to send more calamity in my life. Don't eliminate shlokas like that. You chant the whole prayer. Yes. Yes. But the verse says she is actually asking for calamities. Let the calamities come. But yes, your point is correct. That the point is that it is not that she is some, you know, after calamities. She is not a devotee of calamities. She is a devotee of Krishna. So the focus is on Krishna, not on calamities. What she is trying to say is that whatever it may be, let there be calamities, let there be anything. I want to be with you and you please give me your darshan, please give me your association, your mercy. That is the point. Okay. Yes. So your question is that we see sometimes in the temple the devotees do their japa in the temple hall during kirtan and during class. No, that is not correct. And neither should you do it when you are driving the car. Neither when you are reading the newspaper or doing something else. Japa should be an exclusive activity. When you're walking around, you may chant and then, you know, you may meet somebody and all, it's okay. But when you're chanting your regular rounds, it should be done as an exclusive activity with complete focus. And certainly in the temple, we should not chant when the class is going on. We should not chant our japa when the kirtan is going on. We should participate in the kirtan and we should hear the class attentively. Then before and after the kirtan and class, then we can chant our japa, no problem. And I have seen many devotees chanting while driving also. Watching TV. Or watching TV or doing so many other things. Right? Okay? Alright, so I think all of you are sufficiently hungry now. Yes, one more question. So your question is that the mind is not getting controlled, so what to do?
In
a hurry to complete the rounds. So you see, the mind has been uncontrolled for millions of lifetimes. So we cannot expect that immediately, just because we are chanting for a short time, even some years, that immediately everything will fall in place. It needs years and years of hard work and practice of living a certain kind of lifestyle, following certain rules, then gradually everything falls into focus. So continue on with determination. Do not become disheartened or discouraged. Just go on. Okay? Right? So we will have prasadam? No? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Sri Radha Govinda Circle Devotees ki jai. Hare Krishna. You all finished breakfast? 9:30 or 10? 10 o'clock? It's okay. 4 hours, 10 minutes gap.
Maharaj, when we told His Grace Vardhakrishna Prabhu that we are coming and meeting you, so Prabhu requested us to take Prabhupada's shawl as a gift for you. So Maharaj, on behalf of Vardhakrishna Prabhu and all the temple devotees, we would like to offer you.
heartfelt thanks once again to Madan Deshpande Prabhu and Medha Mataji for having hosted us today and giving us a very nice setting in which we could peacefully chat and discuss and have kirtan and so on, and even for the wonderful breakfast this morning. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.
Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you, Hare Bol.